Mindy asked me this morning, just this morning, if I was looking forward to this. And I said, I don't know. Sometimes I do. Greatly look forward to it. Other times I'm very, I don't know, anxious. Can't explain it. I was undecided at which message to bring at which time. Let's hope the Lord is of the Lord. We switched it. Normally we'd be studying Romans in the first hour, but we're going to look at John 18. We look at verses, let's read verses 12 through 14 again. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. We saw Sunday our Lord before Caiaphas, the high priest, and I fully intended to get down to what the Lord said before Caiaphas, but we didn't get there. I was taken with our Lord being bound and led away, and I think you were blessed by that as I was, but we're talking about being bound. Our Lord, the worst thing that could possibly happen to the disciples and seemingly our Lord was him being crucified. But it was actually the best thing, the salvation of God's people. And what we tried to show is that it is the Lord. He reigns and rules over everything, no matter how bad it may seem. Scripture says all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose, His people. And Christ is the elect, and His people elect in Him. So what happened to Him, though horrible, yet was wonderful. And whatever happens to us, though it may seem at the time horrible, we're going to know someday. In the ages to come, Scripture says, He's going to show unto us the exceeding riches of His kindness toward us through Christ our Lord. And we're going to thank Him for every single thing that happened. Exactly like it happened. So that was the purpose, part of the purpose in that, and to show our Lord reigning and ruling over all things, though He seemed bound. He wasn't bound at all. And the Word of God's not bound. Well, verse 13, they led him away to Annas first. He was father-in-law to Caiaphas. There were two high priests. This is how bad Jewish religion had become. There were two high priests. There's not supposed to be two high priests. There never was two high priests in the Old Testament. The reason being that one man, the high priest, would take the blood of a lamb once a year into the Holy of Holies and offer up a sacrifice for God's people. One man would enter within the veil in the Holy of Holies, not without blood. All of Hebrews speaks of it. It's absolute necessity. One man. And that's a picture that Christ is the only one. The one great high priest. Forever. He is the high priest right now, ever living, to make intercession for His people. Who, by Himself, who entered in the Holy of Holies, not without blood, but with His own precious blood, having obtained eternal redemption. But here there are two high priests. That's how bad this thing had degenerated. Today, you've got a whole religion that millions of people all over the world follow. It's full of priests. Cardinals, Pope, a Pope, been many. Even back then, in the Lord's day, it says the Jews' Passover was at hand. The Jews' Passover. The Jews' Passover. It's supposed to be the Lord's Passover. You know, you don't even see any mention in the Gospels of the Jews sacrificing lambs, do you? The high priest, that was what was supposed to be done, wasn't it? There's no mention of blood. No mention of the sacrifice of the lamb by those high priests, by Caiaphas, Annas, no matter who it was. You won't see it. You won't see it. It's supposed to have been done, wasn't it? Well, religion today, and this is written for our learning today, that if you want to know where God's people really are, they are under the blood. They're partaking of the Passover. The children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. The Lord is bringing them out of Egypt. They're in Egypt, but they're not Egyptians. And God's people are in the world, but not of the world. He's bringing them out. How did you know the difference between the Jews and the Egyptians? If you look at the houses, look at the people. Jews, Egyptians, they all lived pretty similar, though the Jews were slaves. But God's bringing His people out of the world. Out of Egypt. Out of bondage. How do you know the true people of God? We've been clear back then. Wherever that blood was on the house. Just look. There's blood. What are they doing in there? They're partaking of the Passover. That's what they're doing. How do you know God's people today? How do you know the house of God today? There's lots of them. In Egypt. In the world. Supposedly. Houses of God. Houses of worship. Huh? Full of Christians. Are they? How do you know? Paul said there's three marks. Like circumcision. It's hidden. You can't tell. It's hidden. It's covered. But it's of the heart. Number one. They worship God in the Spirit. They worship God in the Spirit. From the heart. They're there to worship God. Worship God. And God's not worshiped with men's hands. No. Spirit. And then truth, our Lord said. The truth? What's the truth? What's the truth? Christ is the truth. This is why. Secondly, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. God's people are Christians. They get together to worship Christ. They get together to talk about Christ. The man that's standing up there preaching Christ and Him crucified, determined not to know anything else. They're partaking of the Passover. They're eating the blood, eating the body and drinking the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know them. Blood will be mentioned about every 30 words. They all know we're coming out, and the reason we're coming out is blood. They worship Him and have no confidence in the flesh. 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 That which is flesh is flesh. And in your flesh dwelleth no good. Now, that's how you know. That's how you know. Where God is not, where Christ is not, Ichabod is written over the door. Ichabod means the glory has departed. What's the glory? What's the glory of God? Christ. Huh? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face, the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God's people are doing. I challenge you, you will seldom hear the word blood in modern religion. Huh? Listen to it. I listen to it.
Sometimes I can't help myself. I'm thumbing through all those religious channels on the TV, you know, and I just start watching them. I go from this channel, this channel, this channel. You sure won't hear of righteousness, which we're going to talk about in the next hour, but blood. Caiaphas is the one who gave counsel in chapter 11. We already looked at this. He said it's expedient that one man should die for the nation. I believe what he meant by it. He didn't know what he was saying. Scripture says that. He didn't know what he was saying. He didn't say that of himself. He's not talking about Christ being the substitute for his people. He wasn't saying that at all. He didn't believe that. He wanted it dead. And what he thought was, if we can get rid of this fellow, if he'll die, we don't have to lose our jobs. We get rid of him. But God had him say this for our sake. Why? Proverbs 16:1, I believe it is, says that the answer of the heart, and preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue are of the Lord. Have you ever heard bad men say good things? How many times have you heard false prophets say good things? Don't let that confuse you. Don't let that confuse you. The reason that is, the Lord sometimes has bad men say true things, is to hold everybody accountable for what they heard. And to hold that man accountable. When our Lord, we're going to see, he's standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" Ooh, standing in front of him. Another time, well, I think it may be in this context, he said, "Are you a king?" Yeah. He stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Are you a king?" He said, "Thou sayest." Your very words are going to condemn you right now. The king, you're standing seated before the king when you ought to be on your knees. Bad men say some good things to hold them accountable, to hold everyone accountable for the truth. That doesn't mean nobody's saved under a false prophet. All right, look at verses 15 and following. We looked at this briefly, but we need to look at it again. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known under the high priest. Now, this is not John. He's not talking about John. John would not call his own name, but he's not. It's very clearly it's not John. He wasn't known by the high priest. High priest wouldn't have let John in there. Some people think it was Nicodemus. Some think it was Nicodemus. It doesn't matter, does it? He doesn't give us his name. But like Nicodemus, who was a private disciple, wasn't he? And he's going to come out. You can't be a closet Christian, so to speak. You can't be a non-professing believer. He's going to come out publicly to cry. But whoever it was doesn't matter because he doesn't tell it. All right, they went in with Jesus under the palace of the high priest. Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known under the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, a young damsel. And they brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. Peter's walking in. You're one of that man's disciples. And they're not. Whew. Oh boy. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals. It was cold. I guarantee you they didn't give our Lord anything to warm himself. And so they warmed themselves by that fire, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Tried. Down in verse 25, says Simon Peter says it again. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, tried to. Now, why is so much, all four Gospels tell us about Peter sitting by the fire with them and warming himself and denying the Lord. Now there's a purpose to that because it's so serious. The blessed man, Scripture says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You can't walk with somebody if you don't agree with them. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except that they agree? No. Can't do it. David said, I'm not going to walk with them. I can't. The blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Can't stand it. Can't stand to stand there with those that hate the truth, that hate your Lord. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. And here sat Peter. Here sat Simon Peter. How? Go with me, Ephesians 5. How is Peter going to sit there and not be known and not be apprehended and not be himself crucified with the Lord? How is he going to do it? Just be quiet. Don't say anything. Get along just fine. Ephesians 5. And our Lord said in His Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. Taking His feet. You're the salt of the earth. He said, you're the light of the world. He said, a light is not meant to be kept under a bushel. There's only one reason for light. To expose darkness. There's only one reason for salt. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's worthless. And our purpose on this earth, if we're one of you, is salt and light. That's our purpose. Salt doesn't exist for itself. We have a salt dish on our table. And that salt is for one thing, the salt food. Our Lord, Paul wrote in Colossians, I believe, let your speech be always with grace, gracious speech, of the gospel of grace, seasoned with salt. Always. That's our purpose. All right, look at Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 8 says, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Is light. Go quickly to 2 Corinthians 6. And the reason I labor this is because the Lord does. Because the Scripture does. And I've told you so many times what my pastor warned us of, that two things most dangerous in this world to God's people are the things of this world and the people of this world. 2 Corinthians 6. This is so very plain. Verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion? What do you have to talk about? Hath light with darkness? What concord? What concourse or fellowship? Or you don't have any. Hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? They're of the world. That's what they speak of, and that's what you'll be speaking of. That's all you'll be speaking of. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean. That's idolatry. And I will receive you. Will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, in Hebrews, I was going to have you turn there, but we won't. Moses, it says, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No, he said, I'm not one of them. He said, choosing rather to suffer reproach with God's people. Abel told his brother, he had to tell his brother, Cain. He could not let Cain go without telling him the truth and what happened. Enoch walked with God. It almost sounds, the Lord makes it sound like he's walked alone, that there wasn't hardly anybody else. Well, there was some, but they're hard to find. So Enoch walked with God. He wasn't walking with the world. He walked with God. He agreed with God. Can't walk with them that don't love my Lord. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, prepared an ark, which is all a picture of those that worship Christ, that believe the gospel, to the condemning of the world. Noah was a loving man, a kind man, a zealous man. He had a heart for the people, but he told them plainly. He warned his generation. He was warned himself, so he moved with fear. He feared God, and he feared not telling them. And he told them. And he condemned the world. And they condemned Noah. Noah, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Abraham sojourned, the stranger and pilgrim. That's what it said. All of God's people are. Even Lot. Lot lived a long time in Sodom. Got along fine. How? Only way light can fellowship with darkness. Not showed light. No one, only one. And Lot, even Lot, though, after a while, when the Lord, Lot, I'm bringing this place down. So Lot ran back to his sons-in-law and whoever would hear him. And he told them, listen, the Lord hath warned us to flee from the wrath to come. I'm getting out of here. Come with me. And they laughed at him. Why didn't you tell us before? Well, I should have, and I'm telling you now. It's not too late. Have you ever had news of somebody dying that you had contact with, and they died all of a sudden, you didn't know it? Did you think,
did I tell that person the truth? Did you?
There's a man who did all of the drywall work on our house and two houses. But I liked him a lot, named Pete. Liked him a lot. He did it all by himself. He did the whole thing by himself. Hard working. He was my age, exactly my age. And I liked him. But I found out one day that he dropped dead. A heart attack. It's my age. This was 7 or 8 years ago. Young. And I thought back. I thought, yeah, I talked to him about the gospel. I did. But he's gone. He's dead. He didn't believe Christ. He perished forever. Serious thing. This is serious. Why do we labor that? Well, Peter denied him. You know what Peter, if he sat there long enough without opening his mouth, without defending his Lord, and he ended up being just like him. He ended up being just like him. And he denied the Lord. But the Lord is so good. The Lord is so merciful. The Lord is so gracious. And it was so bitter for Peter. Yet the Lord is so merciful. And later on said, "Now, Peter. Now, Simon Peter, do you love me?"
Then you go out there and you tell all the ones you denied me to. You go out there and you tell them whose disciple you are. Okay? And Peter, they're going to kill you. But you're going to be thankful for the opportunity.
Did you hear me? I didn't say that. This is the Lord's way. Okay. This is the Lord's way. Keep with them. You'll end up being like them. And you'll deny the Lord. And how's it known the difference between Peter and Judas? At that time, how'd you know the difference between Simon Peter and Judas?
Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly over his denial of the Lord. He said, "I'll never do that again. By God's grace, I'll never do that again. By God's grace, if He gives me an opportunity to tell people, I'm going to lay down. I'm Him. By His grace, I'm going to lay down my life now for Him." He's had mercy on me.
I denied Him. Yet He brought me back and had mercy on me. By His grace, I'm not going to do that again. He laid down His life for me. All right. Now, look at verse 19. John 18, 19. Where am I? There we go. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Caiaphas asked Jesus of his disciples. What did he ask him? Well, I'm pretty sure I know what he asked him. He asked,
"How many disciples you have?"
Isn't that what they always ask? Huh? When people ask you, what's the first thing? Huh? How many? How many you got there? Always. That's what religion, that's what they want to know. Why? Because they think. This is what they think. If you got just a few, can't do anything to that. If you got a bunch, God's in it. The opposite is true. The opposite's true. Noah, how many you got there? You've been preaching a long time. Yeah, 120 years. How many you got, Noah? Seven. Not counting me. 8 people. If our Lord would have answered him, listen to this. If our Lord would have answered him, he would have said, "I've got 12, and one of them's a devil." Huh. You see this high priest now? 12. Who are these fellows? Where are they from? Who are they? Who are these disciples here? Where did you find these disciples? Or where did they find you? What if our Lord would have answered, and he said,
"Fisherman, publican. There's some women there. Who are they? Harlots."
Can you see this high priest there? Ain't nothing to this, is it? It's everything to it. This is the people of God. Lord, are there few that be saved? The disciples even asked him that. "Many are called," our Lord said. "Few are chosen." Well, then he asked the Lord of his doctrine. "Tell me, what is it? Just what is it you're preaching? Just what is it that you all believe, you and your disciples? Just what is it that you are preaching there?" Huh? Our Lord answered him finally. Verse 20. He answered him and said, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing." You remember Paul said, if our gospel be hid, we're not hiding it. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Did he? See, I'm a debtor to the Greek and Jew and the Greek. I've got to preach the gospel. Saul of Tarsus denied the Lord. Saul of Tarsus hated the truth. When the Lord revealed himself to him, Paul the apostle,
I'm going to go out and tell everybody.
I told everybody the false God, and this is what every preacher I know that was a preacher before the Lord saved them. Whew, man, that man is zealous, like Brother Don Bale. He is zealous for the truth. Why? Because he denied him all those years. Don't try to undo what I did. Saul of Tarsus, Paul. But where am I? He said, spake openly. Our Lord said, I spake openly. In the temple, where the Jews always resort, in secret have I said nothing. Oh, Paul said, if our gospel's hid, it's not because we hide it. Not because we're ashamed of it. You know, there's some denominations that Southern Baptist religion claims to believe the doctrine of sovereign grace. They toy with it like a new doctrine, but they call it family doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. I've talked to them. I've heard them. They call it family doctrine. And this is only for the family. We don't tell this to everybody. Is that right? I don't think you're one of the family. They're all taught of God. All the sons of God are taught of God. They're taught the truth. The first thing they hear out of the mouth of God is God's sovereign. Elected a people. Why? Because none of them deserve it. None of them will. None of them can. I told myself I wasn't going to raise my voice. I can't help it. I can't help it. Yeah, our generation's in bad shape, people. It's bad. It's bad. This thing wasn't done in secret. Wasn't done in secret. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yea, verily the sound's gone throughout all the world. I was at the radio station a few years ago, and a man that attends Franklin Heights over there, he said to me, as I was leaving, he said, that doctrine of election is hard to understand, isn't it? He's heard me. He's listened to me. He's one of the older members, an old man then. I said, what's hard to understand about it? God chose this man. He didn't choose that man. God of His infinite mercy and grace and love and kindness to this man who had nothing to do with God, didn't want God, chose this man and just simply did not. Left this man alone. What's hard to understand about that? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that merciful? Isn't that wonderful that God would choose anybody? What's hard to understand about it? It's not hard to understand. Men don't like it. What's hard to understand? That God is holy and man is not. What's hard to understand about that? That man is dead and trespasses and sin. And God is light and life. And God must give life or man won't have life. What's hard to understand about that? That man has shook his fist in God's face. Adam said, I'll be like Satan. I'll exalt my will. And this is what man's still doing. My will. But God said, no, my will. What's hard to understand about that? It's not hard to understand. It's clear as the nose on your face. It's as clear as the Bible. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yes. What's the problem then?
Don't like it.
Well, why do you like it? Do you like this? Why? Because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. My Father, which is dead. Oh, blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed are your ears, they hear. Blessed is your heart, I've given you new. Blessed, 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 you've been chosen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Blessed, blessed, blessed be God the Father who hath chosen us. Put us in pride. You can't preach the gospel without saying these things. If you don't say them, you are ashamed of the gospel. You don't know the gospel. Ask them that heard me. That's what our Lord said. They know. My sheep hear my voice. Ask them. They'll tell you. Every one of them, taught of God, they'll tell you in no uncertain terms. Ask them. I asked the lady of the tent. You know the big tent out there? That's what everybody calls it, that tent place. I asked the lady of the tent who was waiting on us in a restaurant one day. I said, why do you go there? Here's her answer. This is one of them that hears the fellow that preaches. She said, he makes me feel good about myself. If there's a lady in here that says such a thing like that, you haven't heard the truth yet. If anybody would ask a lady in here, why do you go there? They would not say. Not one lady in here would say. Here's what every lady in here would say. I go there because I feel real bad about myself. And he makes me feel good about Christ. Because this gospel's for sinners. I feel like Rahab. I feel like Mary Magdalene. I feel like the thief on the cross. And I go there because I'm a sinner. And he tells me about the good news of Christ who died for sinners. That's why I go there. I go there because I've been bitten by a snake and I have to see him lifted up. I go there because I'm thirsty. I have pet water and that's out of the rock Christ. Huh? Ask them that heard me.
I asked the lady of the Methodist place up here. Some of you were sitting there. Remember, we were sitting there at the table one day at Ruth's place. Ruth's place. That's where we like to go. Ruth's place. But this lady came up. Everybody in town knows this lady. She's well known. And she did her service. And here's what she said. She said, oh, we heard the Ferrum, whatever that college group was, singing today. The Ferrum College Choir singing today. You should have heard that. And I know you were there, Nancy, weren't you? Mindy and several of you. I know every one of us thought. If she'd asked us, what'd you hear today? With one voice and one accord, we would have said, we heard Christ and Him crucified. We heard the gospel. We heard the truth. Ask them to hurt me. That's how you know. Ask somebody. I challenge you to ask that person you know, those people you're in contact with that call themselves Christian, like these Jews. Ask them that worship God, so to speak, go to church. Ask them, what did you hear today? Huh? What did you hear? Don't bait them. Don't coach them. Ask, what did y'all hear today? And hear what they say. Listen to what they say. Bear telling. You know what this, one of the officers, verse 22, and I'll quit with this. Verse 22, one of the officers came over. The Son of God. He didn't say this smart aleckly. The Lord didn't say this facetiously. The Lord didn't say this cruelly and meanly and evilly and angrily. He didn't say it. He just said the truth. He just said the truth, didn't he? And some fella came over and smacked him in the face. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who you're talking to? Men care more for the reputation of men than they do what God says. You know that? It's still true. Men care more for being offending so-and-so. Even the disciples one time came. Monty, the disciples came and said, the Pharisees were offended at you, Lord. Why are you talking in parables? Tell, open. They're offended. He said, leave them alone.
and come for them. And for you. If they smacked him in the face, do you think anything less will happen to us? The Lord didn't say it meanly, but they hit him in the face. Jeremiah, blessed Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. He said, my eyes run down with rivers of tears for my people. And yet he stood up boldly and zealously, uncompromisingly, unashamedly, unabashedly, dogmatically, telling them the truth. You know what they did to him? They smote him. This, exactly what happened to our Lord here. They came up and smote him, and they put him in prison and said, who do you think you are? We're good Jews. Oh, boy. You think things have changed? No. Oh my. And then the whole story of our Lord being crucified. Why did he do this? Why did he come down here? Because everybody deserves a chance to be saved. Huh? He come down here because everybody's a bunch of good people and they just don't know. They just need saving and the Lord can really deserve. Nothing could be further from the truth. Sinners. Not just sinners. Oh my. What a merciful Lord, huh? Okay.
Here.